So you're gonna. I'll just do the. Good evening. Before we go on to our redevelopment agency meeting, we've come back from closed session, so I'll ask our city attorney to give a closed session report.
There's nothing to report from the closed session.
Thank you. We'll move on to our redevelopment agency meeting, and then we'll begin our city council meeting.
Very good. I'd like to call the redevelopment meeting to order. Roll call, please.
Board Member Sturdivant?
Here.
Board Member O'Malley?
Here.
Board Member Clay?
Yes.
Vice Chairperson Kelly?
Here.
Chairperson Fonzi?
Here.
All present.
Thank you, Marcia. Do I have a motion for approval of the agenda?
Motion to approve the agenda.
Second.
Motion by Council Member.
I'm here representing the Atascadero Ministerial Association, and I'm going to pray. Dear God, help. That's my prayer tonight. As I stand with friends and neighbors and other members of this community in which we all live, I ask for help, your help. I know that sometimes we humans are loath to ask for help, especially from you, usually because we think that you have bigger or more important things to deal with than what we're needing help for, or because we think that whatever it is we're facing is something we can handle on our own. But when it comes to this city, our city, and its citizens, when it comes to our present and future as a community, I don't think we can handle it on our own. So I pray for help, your help, and the help of your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us, in spite of our differences of opinion and perspective, to treat each other with kindness and, if possible, with respect. Help us focus not just on the trials of our city, but its triumphs, not just on its struggles, but on its successes. Help us be willing to see the other side of each matter and to give it careful consideration instead of just dismissing it out of hand, knowing that though we may disagree with the position itself, that the person who holds that position cares for Atascadero and for the people of Atascadero every bit as much as we do. Help those whom we have elected to do the right thing and to do things right. Help them to always be accessible to their constituency and willingly accountable to the community as a whole. Help them make those decisions that will do the most good for the most people for the most possible time. And for all the things that I've forgotten to mention or have inadvertently overlooked that really need our attention, help us with those too. Thank you, Father, for hearing my prayer. Thank you for your help. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Comstock. Is there anyone else that would like to speak at public comment period for the redevelopment agency? Seeing none, I'll close the public comment portion and come back for the consent calendar. We have two items, the Community Redevelopment Agency Special Meeting Draft Action Minutes and the Annual Activities Report from the and Work Plan from Atascadero Main Street. Is there anyone on the council that would like to pull one of those items? Is there anyone in the public that would like to pull one of those items? Seeing none, do I have a motion?
I move
for
approval of the consent calendar.
Thank you.
Second.
Okay, motion by Councilmember O'Malley and second by Councilmember Sturdivant. Roll call vote, please.
Board Member O'Malley?
Yes.
Board Member Sturdivant?
Yes.
Board Member Clay?
Yes.
Vice Chairperson Kelly?
Yes.
Chairperson Fonzi?
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
Thank you, Marcia. We have no public hearing tonight and no management reports. Are there any board announcements?
And justice for all.
Thank you. We'll begin with our roll call.
Councilmember Fonzi?
Yes.
Councilmember Clay?
Yes.
Councilmember Sturdivant?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Kelly?
Here.
Mayor O'Malley?
Here.
All present.
Thank you. Next item is the approval of the agenda.
So moved.
Second.
We We have a motion by Councilwoman Fonzie and a seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Kelly. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Fonzie?
Yes.
Councilmember Clay?
Yes.
Councilmember Sturdivant?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Kelly?
Yes.
Mayor O'Malley?
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
Thank you. Next thing on our agenda is a presentation. Now, we don't normally do presentations during the council meeting as much anymore. We try to do those prior to the council meeting. But this is special tonight. I say whenever you come in first in the world, you ought to get all maximum exposure possible. We're very proud of our Atascadero High School Greyhounds coming in first in the world, I understand, on their robot. So we would like to invite them to come forward and tell us a little bit about what they're doing, or maybe you have a guest you'd like to introduce here. We have a mic over here, if that helps.
Hello.
Okay.
I am Sean Murphy, team captain, and just coming off of First in the World, there were 29 countries, well over 2,000 teams. It was quite an event.
No, I think we have a remote mic. If we get that to the robotics team, if that helps you to be closer to the robot,
yeah,
that is fine.
All right, I think we're just going to run it a little bit, drive it around, show what it can do. This is our robot Titan, first in the world. California. This drivetrain is something we've been running for a while, and it's known among the first community as the West Coast drivetrain. It's the best in the world, and it's very fast, very light, very versatile. The arm is a virtual full bar design, so what it's designed to do is lift these game pieces from the floor or deliver to it from a human player, and score it on various height pegs. That is how we score points during the teleoperated period. At the end of the match, there is a vertical race, which is very interesting. It's not something that many events do. It's a straight vertical race. We cannot demonstrate here, for we do not have the track, if you will. What our miniature robot does that is deployed from our robot, it climbs a 12-foot pole in less than a second, which is the fastest in the world. So, thank you very much.
Well, we very much appreciate you coming out. I'm going to read this commendation. We were wondering if you were able to take that donut-looking object and put it on the police chief's head.
Let's give it a go,
huh? Let's give it a try.
So I don't know if you guys have any questions for who we are, what we do, how to donate.
I'll ask the question, how do you donate? There's the TV camera right there.
Well, there's a few ways. You can visit our website, graybots.com. There it's well explained. I'm like how I'm talking, I'm sorry. How to donate specifically to us. Checks are payable to AHS Robotics Boosters. Also, come talk to us afterwards. We're at many community events. Donations are very well appreciated. Our budget each year, we have to raise $50,000+ every year. 15 of that is just in registration. $15,000 in registration. So it's not like a cheap event. Our robot budget is $10,000, and travel budget goes from there. So, a big thing, when you win the world championships, people think you get some sort of monetary prize. Unfortunately, no. We paid $5,000 to win the world championships, and we get none of that back. So it's kind of interesting how it works. But donations are welcome. Pastor, our high school students, as well as one from Templeton. Yeah. So we have to give them some credit.
Outstanding.
So,
see that thing?
That would be helpful. Well, thanks again for coming out and joining us. World-class robotics team here in Atascadero. Next thing on our agenda is our consent calendar. We have a number of items: the Historic City Hall project bid awards, parking and business improvement area assessment, annual road striping and pavement marking awards, qualified firms list, downtown landscape maintenance services, and Atascadero Transit fixed route service. Any member of the council wishing to pull an item? Any member of the public wishing to pull an item? Just state which item and we'll pull it.
My voice doesn't carry.
Okay.
However, I may not need to. When I looked at the consent calendar online, all the MOUs, memorandums of understanding, were under the consent calendar. They're not under there now. So was that changed to management reports?
Which, what had
I'm
appeared
sure
before?
The MOUs are under management
reports. Yes. Yeah.
I'm not sure why they're there.
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
Very good. Thank you. Next item is updates from the city manager.
Mayor and council, I was trying to find the very latest of the state budget, but I'm unable to do so. I think there is an assembly session starting in about 12 minutes, so perhaps that is it. The state, the governor has suggested that he would sign and has built with the Democratic Party a budget, state budget, that would be an all-cuts budget, presuming some revenues that they have not yet received in addition to the revenues they've received, and that would include the elimination of redevelopment. We contend still that they aren't taking the trailer bills of the elimination of redevelopment back to the floor. They were the bills approved as trailer bills to the previous budget, which he vetoed. So we think that will be his first legal problem. But as we've stated before, we think there's a variety of legal problems in their action, as well as we don't really believe that this budget is also a workable plan. It may, in fact, be approved by the state yet today. It was supposed to be today, and we haven't heard anything on that. So we'll keep you informed as that comes along. On good news front, Cold Stone Creamery is now open in the Colony Square. You can go to the movies and get ice cream, too. I went by there yesterday. It's very nice inside. And the Chamber of Commerce is hosting its ribbon cutting this Thursday at 2 o'clock. Come and see Cold Stones.
Thank you. Next, we have community forum. It's an opportunity for any member of the public to tell us about anything that's not on the agenda and that's under our jurisdiction. So, welcome. Seeing no one approach, we'll close the community forum portion of the meeting and move on to our public hearings. First, item number one, Atascadero City Hall Repair and Rehabilitation Project. And I believe our community development planner, Kelly Taylor, is presenting this.
Good evening, council members. Yes, tonight we're going to look at an amendment to the mitigated negative declaration for the City Hall project. What we are proposing is an amendment to the CEQA document. Last year when Bernard's came on to look at the how the construction was going to be completed, we started to really look at how those trees were going to be affected by the construction. At that time, it was October of 2010, and the mitigated negative declaration was amended to include the removal of four of the Deodar cedars and one Italian cypress, and those are marked with the X's on the site plan. At that time, the council was interested in keeping the two large trees at the front of City Hall on Palma Avenue. These are the two that you see from the Sunken Gardens. And those do require substantial mitigation measures to protect those trees. So we're looking at tree protection fencing, some matting around the roots, a number of things that the arborist has identified to protect the trees during construction. The four Deodar cedar trees were removed last year, and now we have only the two remaining trees. And as construction has begun on the project, there has been interest in removing those trees. So at this time, we are proposing to remove the two remaining Deodar cedars. There's a number of concerns with keeping those trees. The first is the access for construction. They are located very close to the building, so we are looking at additional construction costs to keep those trees. There's also a safety concern. Bernard's is concerned about the condition of the trees. There have been past limb failures, a lot of dead wood in the trees. And then it does have the co-dominant trunks, which makes it, of course, not quite as stable. So they are nearing the end of their lifespan. We expect we could see 20 years out of the trees, possibly up to 40. But with the construction impacts over the next few years, it's, of course, going to impact the longevity of those trees. Here's a photo of the two trees as they stand today. They're the two remaining trees on site. And the just the appearance of the site with only two of the trees left has also been called into question. They are uneven in height and width. And the original plan had eight Deodar cedar trees placed symmetrically around the building. So it is different than the original landscape plan, the way you see it today. So we have incorporated a mitigation measure with the removal of these last two trees. And it requires that the site be re-landscaped and a landscape plan be prepared with project. Of course, there is a cost for removal as well, and that's about $9,500. So we're looking at a net savings of at least $57,000 in project costs if the trees were to be removed. So staff is recommending that the council adopt the draft resolution as proposed. The council may make minor modifications to the mitigation measures, or the council may determine that more information is needed and refer the item back to staff. And that concludes staff's presentation.
Thank you. And I'll be looking to the lights for council member questions. Any council questions at this time? We'll come back to comments because I do want to go through public. And we'll right now it's questions of staff. And let's go ahead and open it up to public comment. Any member of the public wishing to comment on this item? Seeing none, we'll bring it back and close public comment. Now open it up to comments. Councilmember Clay.
Okay. I was the one that probably, you know, lobbied to save those two trees, and obviously there's a safety factor, and I tell you the truth, I love those trees. I always have since I was a kid, but anyway, to make it long story short, I've changed my mind, but I did start from seedlings. They were about an inch tall. I started 13 and one died, so I got 12 of these seedlings, and I've got five of them out in my car. Bob Kelly's going to take this one here and the little green thing. And anybody would like one of these little seedlings, they're actually from the tree that's closest to the burger place. And they're real nice, and they grow really fast, as Tom will attest to. I started some a few years ago. So anyway, here they are. There's five in my truck. Somebody just grab one and take it home and plant it in a good place, and you'll have a memory of the Deodar cedars in Sunken Gardens. And that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Thank you. Any other comments or a motion on this agenda item?
I'd like to make a motion that the council adopt draft resolution A, certifying an amendment to mitigated negative declaration 2006-0038 for the Atascadero City Hall repair project, which includes removal of the remaining two Deodar cedar trees on Palma with incorporated mitigation.
I'll second that.
Thank you. We have a mayor. We have a motion. We do have a mayor too, but we have a motion by Mayor Pro Tem Kelly, and so looking to the lights for recognition on council, so we can make sure everyone gets their turn. Next item on the agenda is number two, the downtown wayfinding signage, and I understand Alfredo Castillo, from our community development planning staff, will be presenting.
Yes. Good afternoon, Mayor O'Malley, and ladies and gentlemen of the City Council. Tonight I'm presenting PLN 2011-1404 and AUP 2011-0051, the downtown wayfinding signage package. In summary, we are requesting to approve an AUP to allow additional wayfinding signs in the downtown that includes four illuminated informational kiosks and two decorative street signs that are also illuminated. Staff is also requesting funding for the fabrication and installation of the proposed signage. In February 2007, the City Council approved the wayfinding program to better identify the downtown core. The primary goal of the wayfinding program is to enhance the prominence of businesses in downtown. We have a couple of examples of our existing wayfinding signage that you can see around town. The first one is the monument signage that's off of the southbound 101, right about near the downtown exits. Second one is sort of the vehicle signage that's pointing towards downtown off of the traffic way. The third picture that you see there is the colony markers that are spread all throughout the perimeter of the downtown, sort of giving vehicles and pedestrians a notice that they're entering into a very special district or zone. And the last one is our parking plaques that we have located throughout the downtown, signaling where available public parking is for motorists. Over the last year, staff has been coordinating with the Main Street Association for additional signage. In December of 2010, staff created a large wayfinding mock-up sign that was based on the initial concepts that came about from our meetings with the Main Street Association. We placed this mock-up sign in about four intersections the second week of December to solicit various feedback from not only the merchants in the downtown, but also residents here in the city. We did have some mixed feedback. We had a lot of positives about it in regards to the fact that it was visible for motorists of the various businesses that were in the downtown, but we also received negative feedback, and most of the negative feedback was in regards to the size of the sign itself. Main Street and staff had discussions and alternatives because we both felt that the sign itself was rather large to basically put up in the downtown. Because of those discussions, Main Street Association has come about with the latest proposal is to rebrand portions of Entrada Avenue and Traffic Way as the Shops on Entrada and the Shops on Traffic. The rebranding effort would include two illuminated decorative street signs for the buck that really would direct pedestrian traffic to the various businesses within the downtown. So here's an example of our decorative street signs. The decorative street signs consist of a custom base that's 12 foot in height. It'll contain the Colony District plaque that is consistent with the wayfinding signage that was approved back in 2007 by the council. And this would include illuminated signs that with decorative mounting. The illuminated signage that would be visible at night would be the Shops on Entrada signage. And again, that would be visible for vehicular traffic off the El Camino Real. The pole would be consistent with the adopted wayfinding program color scheme, so the sort of dark green that you see today and a lot of the lamps and the other additional signage that we have around town. So everything really is consistent with the look and feel of the existing wayfinding program that was adopted. The red circles represent the proposed locations of the illuminated posts. We do not know the exact locations at this time. The real critical key to the final locations of the two illuminated street signs would be the availability of electrical conduits. But at this point, staff has determined that these two intersections would be the critical way. Obviously, the first one on Traffic Way would be pointing to Shops on Traffic, and the second one on Entrada Avenue pointing to shops on Entrada. What you see in the white circle is a photo simulation of an illuminated street sign at night. This was taken at dusk, sort of to give you a good representation of what the street signs would look generally from a motorist standpoint on El Camino Real. The second portion of the wayfinding program is what's known as the illuminated directional kiosks. So these will be a changeable directory that's approximately 7 feet in height, again, containing the Colony District plaque that's consistent with the wayfinding program. One of the greater aspects of this would be visible at night. So not only do we have the ability to direct pedestrian traffic during the day, which a lot of people walk the downtown during the day, but it's also looking forward to, hopefully, as our downtown continues to revitalize, as we continue to attract businesses and other types of shops that hopefully will stay open later on during the night, it'll give pedestrians a good opportunity to view the kiosk at night and able to direct them where they need to go. The kiosks are consistent with the wayfinding program's color scheme as well. And similar to the street signs, their locations are really dependent on electrical conduits and where they're located on the sidewalk. Staff has selected at this point 5 potential locations for the illuminated directional kiosks. Again, similar, we're really traffic in Lewis Avenue next to the Yoga on the Vine. So as you can see, it's pretty big. It's at a pedestrian eye level. Again, really trying to direct that pedestrian traffic to the various shops along Traffic Way. And something would be similar to the Shops on Entrada, except rebranded for Shops on Entrada. As stated earlier, Main Street has been really good participating in this ongoing talks about providing this wayfinding signage. It has been promoted by Main Street. In exchange for the sign installation, Main Street is offering to police unpermitted A-frame signs and maintain the kiosk. So that's something that's a really good positive. We do see quite a few A-frame signs that are sitting away from businesses that are at the intersection. The way our signage ordinance reads is you're allowed an A-frame sign with a permit, but the A-frame sign needs to be in front of your businesses. Well, not too many businesses follow that rule in the downtown. Again, they want to capture that pedestrian traffic. So utilizing the wayfinding program instead and really try to clean up the downtown of the A-frame signs and really go with a consistent branding that we've already committed to, this seems like a very positive way to go. Staff is also recommending that the city and Main Street enter into a maintenance and performance agreement prior to the installation of signs to make sure that there is maintenance and upkeep to the directional kiosks as well as the street signs. There are fiscal impacts with the purchase and installation of the signs. The estimated cost to purchase a total of 2 illuminated decorative street signs and 4 kiosks is approximately $48,000 of the blight elimination funds. The city engineer has estimated installation cost for the signage to be approximately $39,600. Staff does recommend a formal bid to be brought to council at a later time in order for us to utilize the down economy and the greater availability of bids. The estimated yearly maintenance is approximately $500, and that includes lighting and cleaning of the kiosk and the street signs. And updates to the directory would cost approximately $1,250 annually for 2 updates, so maybe one during summer, one during winter. Again, that'd be really up to the Main Street to program when those signs would be updated. And again, it is staff's understanding that the Main Street would be responsible for maintenance and updating costs. Council does have the option of choosing a cheaper wayfinding signage package that is not illuminated. That package is estimated to cost approximately $38,000. Or $20,000 less than the estimated total cost currently of $48,600, with the approximate cost savings of $10,000. The city does have a purchasing policy that requires that any, therefore fabricating the exact signage may be difficult. And 3, it's in the city's best interest to award the bid to Signs of Success, Inc., who has been working closely with the city and the Main Street Association during this process to ensure the most cost-effective approach for the city. In conclusion, the Atascadero Municipal Code allows for the placement and construction of these informational kiosks in any zone through the approval of an AUP, which is what we're recommending tonight. Staff feels that the kiosk will draw attention to businesses on the street, and that the decorative street signs create a visual cue for motorists to, one, know that they're in the downtown, but 2, really point them that there's a lot of shopping opportunities and retail opportunities in the downtown. And all signs are consistent with the intent and look of the adopted wayfinding program. Staff recommends approval of the AUP as well as authorization for funding for the additional signs. So staff recommends, one, that the council adopt draft resolution A approving PLN 2011-1404, 8 AUP 2011-0051, permitting the installation of 6 illuminated wayfinding signs in the downtown along El Camino Real, Entrada Avenue, and Traffic Way, and two, authorize an exemption of the formal bidding process in accordance with Section 2.3.1.H.4 of the City of Atascadero Purchasing Policy, and award the purchase of 2 illuminated decorative street signs and 4 kiosks to Signs Success Inc. for $48,118.63. And with that, are there any questions?
Thank you. We have Councilwoman Fonzi.
Yes, you mentioned that Main Street was going to police the A-frame signs. Do you have any idea how they will do that?
At this point, no. I mean, it's my understanding that the Main Street Association does meet regularly. So it's hopefully that the Community Development Department would go out to the Main Street Association meetings and discuss what is going on with the wayfinding program and discuss with the new directional, if approved, the new directional street signage, and really try to really inform the businesses that this is the better way to go. And then it would be up to Main Street to do the policing themselves, especially if the businesses will be participating in that. We really don't want to create an unfair sort of advantage for some businesses that place the A-frame sign on the street corner, as well as take advantage of the directional information kiosk.
I have several questions, Alfredo. Good report, by the way. I know it's your first. Why did they say shops on traffic rather than traffic way?
You know, when you're driving down...
Are these signs made out of metal, or what is the material? I'm wondering how durable they are. This is a considerable amount of money, and we want them to last many years.
Yeah, the signs are very durable. They are fabricated with sheet metal. It's my understanding through the specs that I believe are in your staff report. As mentioned earlier, it is fabricated, I believe, with a very decorative metal. The bases are metal. Lighting, it will be very intricate as well. So that's why there is a maintenance cost associated to really ensure the upkeep of the signage.
And you said that it would be placed based on the location of a conduit. Would this mean that there would be an electrical outlet? I don't know that we'd want to decorate the poles at Christmas or do other things, but it would be nice to have the option.
Yeah, and what that means is basically, if you can imagine sort of how we do now, there's a lot of electrical wiring in the bottom of the sidewalk, so you're really walking on something very interesting, but you can never tell. It's very similar to just street lighting. So the lighting would come up the pole and just be illuminated internally, so you really wouldn't see any wiring. So there is the potential for the opportunity to hang, during the Christmas time, hang lights on there. It's very different from what you see if you go out there this evening with the trees, with the sort of lights that are out there that just plug right in. It's internally encased. So it is very similar to a street lamp as comparative to like a regular basic 120-volt electrical outlet.
So I'm not sure that I understood. There will be something that you could plug a string of lights in then or not?
I'm unsure at this point.
Thank you.
Councilman Sturdivant.
Yes, Alfredo, you talked about there being a maintenance agreement of some type with Main Street, and I was just wondering, does that need to be included in the recommendation, or is that just something that, how does that get handled?
You are approving an AUP, so as a part of the AUP approval, we do have to issue a building permit. So the AUP at the end of the conditions of approval states that we will be entering into a maintenance agreement with the Main Street Association. That agreement needs to be drafted and approved prior to issuing of the building permit. So that's how that will get handled.
Thank you.
Other council questions? Councilmember Clay.
Traffic versus traffic way. It's always been traffic way, ever since I was a kid. And why are we calling it traffic now?
Again, very similar to the question that Councilmember Fonzi had brought up. Yeah. It's been just discussions with the Main Street Association and the Community Development.
Confusing,
In my opinion, no, it would not be. But I'm young, so.
I'd quit while you're ahead right there.
But no, again, that's something that the Main Street is really pushing forward, and we were okay with. It's just, again, let's go back to a marketing effort and a rebranding effort of just specifically the shops along Traffic Way to really just give a quick hit that this is the shops on Traffic.
And I'm old, by the way.
Not that old.
Real old.
Thank you. Seeing no other council questions, I'll add one or two before we go to the public comment on this or questions. Have you considered any solar options instead of the electrical hookups, and would that work maybe especially on the information signs for pedestrians?
No, we have not looked into that, but that is potentially an option we could look into. However, that might increase the cost of the bid.
I know we have our Veterans Memorial and Kiwanis folks here tonight. We recently looked at some options, and PG&E was willing to provide a grant that covered the costs of doing solar, so it might actually reduce our maintenance cost, and there might be some help on that. So it's probably worth taking a look at. The other concern I had was making sure that we had a lot of notice with our downtown businesses. And I know we've had this discussion before, and it's a challenge to make sure everyone is included. But what was the process that was taken either by City or Main Street to make sure the downtown businesses were aware that this option is coming forward to us?
I don't know if someone from the Main Street Association is here tonight to speak on that.
Okay, we can hold that, and I think we'll ask them to come forward first on that. Any other council questions before I go to public? Now, I'll look for the lights. We have a couple council members. Councilmember Kelly.
Just a comment on that. I think that was noticed downtown. I saw all the little yellow signs around downtown.
Okay, so thank you.
I think there was a public notice.
Other questions? I'm going to open it up to the public for any public questions or comment. And I would like if Main Street would give us a little background on the process that they went through. That would be helpful.
Informed. We take information door-to-door. We have three drop-off points for information downtown. We also have a once-a-month coffee and a once-a-month cocktail party, which businesses downtown are invited to attend and get information from. All of that being said, I have to say that attendance at those functions has been light.
Thank you. And it looks to me as this signage is very consistent with the wayfinding signage study we've done and is consistent with our other Colony District marketing approaches. Is that, I assume you would agree with that?
Yes, absolutely. I think from the beginning in talking about this, one of the things we wanted to do was stay consistent with what had been done in the past so there weren't any big surprises pulled on anybody. And that was a big component of the conversation. We've had a lot of discussion about this on the Main Street board, both at the goal-setting meetings earlier this year and at ensuing meetings, about the need for downtown signage and also the need to address the issue of naming on Traffic Way. So,
thank you. And normally we would not have a dialogue back and forth with folks coming forward at a public comment period. However, Mr. Martin is working for the city with marketing and promotions, so if other council members would have any questions for Mr. Martin while he's here, this would be a good time. Yes, Councilmember Clay.
Tom suggested the solar thing. Would that be a little gaudy on top of a sign or something like that?
Steve? Councilman Clay, that's a conversation that I haven't been a part of. I understand the considerations for bringing solar into the discussion. That becomes a very personal preference type of thing. My personal idea of a large solar collector on top of signs would be it would detract from the downtown sign design. Others might think they're differently, but that's my opinion.
Thank you.
Other council questions for Mr. Martin? None? Well, let's move on. If there's any other member of the public wishing to comment on this item, seeing none approach, we'll bring it back to council for further discussion or a motion.
I'd like to make a motion that we accept staff's recommendations.
I'll second.
We have a motion by Councilman Sturdivant and seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Kelly. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Sturdivant?
Yes.
Councilmember Clay?
Yes.
Councilmember Fonzie?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Kelly?
Yes.
Mayor O'Malley?
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
Thank you. Next item on the agenda, management reports. C1, Atascadero Lake Park Veterans Memorial Monument sign options. And I believe...
Route 41. It's not the most attractive frontage for our wonderful lake park, and we've been able to allocate some redevelopment agency funds in order to improve the both the attractiveness and the function of the lake park. And tonight we're going to consider a portion of that project, and that is the Faces of Freedom Veterans Memorial signage for that particular feature of Atascadero Lake Park. The recommendation is that the council select one of two options, which has been provided to us by the Atascadero Veterans Foundation, and give any further direction regarding the signage as the council may desire. Just a little bit of background quickly before we get to the memorial sign itself. I mentioned this exciting project that we're about to put out to bid includes the improvement of the lake park frontage. And here on the screen, you see the entrance to the lake park with the zoo being on the right over here. We're going to put a whole new landscape strip in front of the lake park. There will be concrete rail fencing similar to what we have in front of the lake pavilion, with posts made out of river rock all along here. As you can see, there'll be new trees planted and landscaping. There will be, finally, an entrance sign to the lake park, which will say Atascadero Lake Park, Charles Paddock Zoo, Lake Park Pavilion. And then another feature that we're going to add is a banner holder for all of those banner signs that end up along Highway 41, some of them affixed to some posts that are falling down or put up on T-stakes. That's been very unsightly. I've had a lot of complaints about that. So this particular feature of the banner holder will clean that up, if you will. It'll be similar to the banner holders that we have in Sunken Gardens that have kind of addressed that problem there. And we think that'll be a lot more attractive. And we've added three layers because one of the things that happens in the summer is that we get a lot of activities. A lot of groups want to put their signs and banners up. We just don't have the room. So if we needed to, we could put three by eight banners on this banner holder. And then if we wanted to, that could even be double-sided with different banners on each side. And this gives you a better idea of what the city's signage is going to look like, the lake park, for the Veterans Memorial specifically. And that they requested that they have a separate sign, which they would design and bring forward to the city, and that would be included in the project. And in the past, if you remember, in 2009, we did approve a sign for the corner of State Route 41 and Portola, and this is what it looked like. If you recall, the original sign was to be placed right here at the corner of Portola, which is the stoplight here in State Route 41. The face of the sign would look something like this in black granite, and then the sign itself, the posts, would be very similar to the post on the concrete rail fencing with the river rock, and there'd be some perennial planting here. Now, since that time, the Veterans Foundation has come back to me and requested that we consider a sign in a different location and a different design. And so we have two options for the council to consider. One of the questions that was given to me was, well, why would we want to change locations? And there's a couple of reasons for that. One is that the foundation was concerned that this particular sign would really only be visible to motorists and traffic on State Route 41 heading westbound to Morro Bay. But if you think about it, all the traffic that would be heading eastbound toward 101 or downtown would not be able to see this sign unless they were to look backwards as they passed through the intersection. So that was the primary reason we started taking a look at options for another location. Also, when I went out there on location with the vets and we looked from this direction about where the business is, that's H&F Associates and the gun shop, and you look back toward the memorial, we began to think there might be some view shed issues with the sign here. As you can see, some of this is partially blocked by this tree, but we actually put stakes in the ground with orange tape, much like Mr. Frace might do when he's looking at heights of buildings to get an idea of what a structure would look like on a vacant lot. We actually put some stakes out there to see, and we did notice that this sign did interfere with the view shed from cars that were parked in the intersection or waiting at the stoplight on Portola in 41. And then we also, where the sign would be placed, this is an aerial view of the lake park, and all of this area that you see that's colored would be the newly landscaped areas as part of the frontage project. And the new sign would be located right here where this purple arrow is pointing. That location would be between the pedestrian trail here, which is DG right now, and the lawn, and then the fence or the property line for the lake park, which is essentially adjacent to the Caltrans right-of-way. So the sign would sit perpendicular here, similar to the monument signs here and here. Now, this is design option number one, and I did get feedback from the council that your exhibits in your staff report weren't very easily readable. So the Vets Foundation and the designer, Mark Darris, has been very kind to bring some better exhibits, some larger exhibits for you to see here this evening, and you can see the dimensions a lot better. And hopefully this slide is legible enough for the public. And I'll point out some of the features of design one. There is a pergola across the top of the sign, which is similar to a trellis or something like that across the top. Here's the black granite sign that would say Faces of Freedom Veterans Memorial. You'll see the posts here, which would pick up the river rock, which is part of our design guidelines for Atascadero Lake Park that you would see on the fencing and other signage and buildings throughout the park. You see that Mr. Darris has picked that up. This is a side elevation, and there again is the pergola, the post, and the base. This would also include the city's seal, which would be similar to the city seal that's in concrete out on the Lewis Avenue Bridge outside here at City Hall. This diameter would be approximately 18 inches in diameter. And then one of the other features of this particular option is this planter box here. One of the things that I did when I got the design options from the Vets Foundation was to run it through the different departments, such as Public Works, Community Development, Community Services. One of the items that I got back in terms of feedback was from Public Works, Parks Division, that this particular planter box might be a maintenance problem for the city in that it would be work a lot like Veterans Day activities, fundraisers, and things like that. So this sign also features a couple of elements where there would be banner holders on the side of the sign hanging down from the pergola itself for their banners so that they could take up and down for memorial-related activities. One of the things that you'll notice is that this is a 10-foot height, which conforms to the city's sign ordinance. The width of this particular sign does overhang slightly the Caltrans right-of-way. We will likely have to adjust that. And then this side of the pergola also overhangs the pedestrian trail on the other side, and the vets have asked if we could move that trail out into the grass a little bit to accommodate that wider pergola. So that would be something the council would have to give us direction on if you wanted to choose this sign. Those changes as far as moving the path and things like that would be at the foundation's expense. This is sign design option two. This is a kind of a unique design in that it's a two-sided sign, but there's actually two different signs because this sign is shaped in a V, and I'll quickly show you what I mean. This is aerial view with one side of the sign, and here's the other. This would be the eastbound side. This would be the westbound side. This is a side view, side elevation with the city seal here, 18 inches in diameter. This particular sign is different in that the river rock or stone accents are in a couple of places below the post, but these posts or these pillars here and the base would be concrete and it'd be similar to what we have at the memorial itself, the gray concrete slabs that the memorial granite plaques are mounted on. These plants that you see here are not in a planter box, but actually in the ground. So this is a little bit different. I did ask the president of the foundation which of the two designs they actually preferred, and they said that they preferred design option one because of cost. The second option is a little bit more costly. So I just want to make sure I've covered all of the points. Regarding fiscal impact, I wanted to add something to the staff report in that when we first started talking the vet sign in the budget, that we would do that, and if not, then the entire sign would have to be paid for out of Vets Foundation funds. So if we're able to absorb their sign as part of the overall budget, it'll all be in the project budget, and if not, that would be an additive alternate that they would pay for themselves. So with that, I'll conclude, and I wanted to mention Mr. Quinones is here, the president, as well as Mark Darris, the architect. Thank you.
Thank you. I have a question from Councilmember Clay.
Yeah. On the triangular sign, is it are both sides exactly the same?
Yes.
Okay. And it would be placed in that same
location.
Okay. Yeah. And so you would be able to see it from if you were coming from Morro Bay, and you'd be able to see it if you were going towards Morro Bay, right?
That's correct.
Yeah. I know that they're saying that it's a little more costly, but I really think that... we're only going to do it once, right? And I think that personally, I like that rendition myself. So that's and you know, I would like to say that I know we have a couple of members of the original committee here, and I think four of our city council members have been on the Veterans Memorial Committee, and it's just amazing how this thing has evolved from just a few of us getting together, having a meeting, and all of a sudden the veterans took over, and what they accomplished was just amazing. We have one of the nicest memorials in the nation, and it's a credit to everybody that worked on it, mostly from Atascadero. So we're very proud of our veterans memorial.
Thank you. Other council questions, Mr. Sturtevant.
Yes, Brady. When it comes to design number one and the Caltrans issue, is that just a matter of having to, we're not going to be in there right away, we're just going to move it over and then have to move the walkway? Is that the only two things that are necessary?
Yes. We really can't encroach into the Caltrans right away, and so that would be something that if they were able to get some kind of permit to do that, that would be between the foundation and Caltrans, but we're anticipating that sign will have to be within the park property, and then as far as the overhang on the other side, yeah, that would be something the council would have to decide if we want to allow them to realign the path just so we could make a little more room for that particular design.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Kelly.
Brady, do you know if there's any lighting?
Yes, we are planning some up lighting. Could be placed in this new location that we're considering.
Well, I'm just wondering, because I know we had an original design that was in keeping with the rest of the park, and...
Yeah, the primary reason is if we move this particular option, that's detachment C, to the new location, it would have to sit higher than the fence line in order to be seen by traffic coming from either direction on 41, which is pretty much what this sign does. The fence line comes to about here, so that this portion of it is above the fence line. The one in the staff report would not be that high. As you can see, it'd be below a person's normal height.
Thank you. Other council questions? I see it looks like Councilman Sturtevant.
Thank you. One other question. When it comes to the planter, can that not just be... stone, you know, tiled over, or, you know, not, don't put plants basically underneath the sign, just decorative stone or something like that?
Yeah, I think, you know, if the city council wanted to give direction to perhaps approve design option one without the planner, I'm sure Mr. Darris could work with that and make that attractive.
Thank you.
Thank you. Councilwoman Fonzie.
Yes, Brady, is there any maintenance that's involved with the granite slab, and would that be the city's responsibility, or would that be the Veterans Memorial Association?
Because it is granite, we're like the memorial itself, we're considering that would be part of the memorial, and they would maintain it, but it should be minimal maintenance. Most of the maintenance would come from the maintenance of these banners, because, as you know, we've seen businesses in town that hang banners that don't look good. I'm sure the foundation would not do that because of the way they have taken care of the memorial in all other respects. So most of the maintenance would be these plants, at least in this version, and the pergola, keeping that painted and kept up. But we would like to ask that the foundation take care of those maintenance responsibilities.
Thank you. Councilmember Clay.
Yeah, in regards to cost, Brady, is any...
We don't have cost estimates on these two yet. There haven't. This has been designed by the foundation, and so we don't have engineers' estimates on this.
Okay, and then you mentioned something about if the city got involved with the building of it, and if they didn't, why don't you explain that a little bit?
Okay. Originally, when I was approached by the Vets Foundation project budget, the city would do so. If not, then the entire cost of the installation and construction would be borne by the foundation.
Okay, in other words, the money that's been set aside for the improvements by the zoo and in the frontage there, is that what you're talking about?
That's correct.
What does it look like? Does it look like you may be under budget? Or?
Well, it all depends on the bids. As you all know, the city council is aware. We've had some pretty good bids on City Hall and some of our other construction projects, the zoo and so forth. So we're hopeful that we'll be able to include this entire sign, whichever one design is chosen by the council, in our project budget. But the vets have been told that if that were not to occur, then they'd have to raise all the entire funding themselves.
I know about, it's been over a year now, that they did have a fundraiser just for the sign. I think it was something like $8,000 raised. But I'm sure that, we could get together and raise the money if we had to. That it would be nice if there was money left over. That'd be nice. And I still like the two-sided sign.
Thank you. Well, we're still on questions. Councilmember Sturdivant.
Just a quick question, just that Jerry got me thinking about. If this zoo project does come in under budget, but it is not the full amount for the full installation, is it possible just to set that aside as the Veterans Memorial Group raises funds to be able to help offset the costs?
You know, that might be a question for our Administrative Services Director, Rochelle, because those are redevelopment agency funds which are being used at the Lake Park, which at some point will not be able to be used in the future at the Lake Park. So I don't know how long we could bank those funds, so to speak, for something like that. So perhaps Mr. McKinney would know.
I don't believe, given the restrictions that we entered the contract, I don't believe those restrictions would allow any banking of the redevelopment portion.
Thank you.
Thank you. Seeing no other council questions, we'll open it up to the public, and I would like to invite any member of the Veterans Memorial Association to speak first as the project initiator, really, and maybe our president, Jimmy Q.
My name is Jimmy Quinones, president of the Veterans Memorial Sites. We would appreciate that, but I think that we can, if you cannot afford to pay for it, I think we can. So anyway, I thank you again.
Thank you.
Mr. Brady, Cherry, thank you.
And Mr. President, I have no doubt about the Veterans Memorial Association being able to raise the funds or maintain whatever we build out there. I think there are some questions about design, and I see we have Mark We have two Marks in the audience, our original artist, Mr. Greenaway, and Mr. Derez, the architect on this. And I would like to hear from them at some point, but I see Mr. Ward coming forward. Welcome.
Members of the City Council, you know, about several years ago, I was standing here when we were, you know, involved in the fight of getting this wonderful Veterans Memorial built. My name is Chuck Ward. I'm a founding member of the board, and I was involved with the fundraising, building, and the design of this memorial. And very early on, we envisioned this sign. And I know that the black granite with the simple words, Faces of Freedom Veterans Memorial, and the wonderful three-dimensional relief that Mark Greenaway has designed really, really, really makes a statement. So my comments are as follows. When we built the Veterans Memorial, it was hard to raise money, but it was relatively less difficult to get contractors and suppliers to donate time and materials, concrete, electrical equipment, electrical lighting. I believe that that could exist today if there was a move to do that. Also, I would hate to see a beautiful sign junkified with banners on the side. That creates kind of a Winnebago Ferrari look, and you're trying to please everything. And I think the statement with the black granite and Mark Greenaway's wonderful sculptor really makes a wonderful statement. As far as the placement of the sign, boy, we went back and forth over. I would like to say if the Veterans Memorial wants to have it done their way, I think the will and the talent is there to raise the money and to have special fundraisers, and I think the citizens and the veterans community would chip in to see it done. Thank you.
I have a question for Chuck, if you don't mind. Hey, Chuck. Chuck. I got a question for you. Yeah. You know, I know you spent a lot of time on it, but don't you think in order to catch the traffic from both ways, if we had the triangular sign that would catch, what do you think of that?
Well, you know, we stood across there and we went up and down and we looked at that thing from every angle and there was never a consensus. We drove up and down the street and the argument that somehow the sign blocks the view for just a nanosecond of cars going by, you know, that doesn't carry any credibility with me. You want to see the sign, and you want it to be lit up at night, you want it to be tasteful, and you want it to be in harmony with the Veterans Memorial. And you don't want to try to make it do all things for all people.
Sure. But they're moving, the idea is to move it down, you know, not at the corner, and then have it where it can be seen from both directions.
Look, I'm not on the board anymore, and that's strictly sort of
an
engineering decision. If that works best and it's more visible and it looks good, sure, why not?
Let's move ahead with public comment. Thank you.
Okay.
And let's try to hold council questions from public comment if we can. Other members of the public wishing to come forward or if any of the artists or designers would like to share? Welcome.
Hi, Mark Derez, designer. Just to answer any questions that you might have on the design. I would like to clarify a couple of things that Mr. Cherry went over. If you could go to the design option one. On the right-hand side, you'll see the banner and the pergola does overhang into the state right-of-way, which we can apply for a permit, but what I understand, it's costly and very time-consuming, so it would be best to move the entire structure over to the left, but it would then encroach on the walking path. The existing walking path is a little less than 8 feet. There is a possibility of moving the Mo strip and just making the walkway narrower. In the space that's already provided, we can actually provide a much larger sign that would be visible from both sides. I believe that the angle sign would be easier to see. I'm not married to either one. I actually like them both. They're very different designs. My goal was, once I finished the first one, was to try something completely different just to see and get feedback. And I've gotten positive and negative on both, which is fine. The other concept that I worked with here, which Brady touched on, is the granite wall, the wall that has the granite on it. It is a gray concrete. It's very plain purposely, with the granite being the part of the thing that you want to really focus on. So I try to mimic that as much as I can, but still maintaining the city standard with the river rock at the very base of the pillars. The city logo, I show it to be about 18 inches in diameter. I don't know what the city standards are, so that can change. Those pillar sizes certainly can get bigger if that's a requirement. This particular design would obviously need to be uplit. That was mentioned also about lighting. Would have to be uplit. So inside that garden wall that you see, the triangular portion of it, the lights would be hidden behind it and light up, and it would light the wall up nicely. The pergola one, I felt, gave us an opportunity to actually light it from above, which might give it a different effect and kind of look pretty cool that way as well. So if anybody has any questions, I'm happy to.
We have Councilmember Sturdivant, then Councilwoman Fonzie.
Yes, Mr. Darras, if the pergola on Design 1, if those banner areas were taken in, would that be out of the Caltrans and out of the walkway? Would that be a size that would actually fit within there?
You taken in or taken off?
Or taken away, I'm sorry, taken away.
Yeah, well, it would still have to be shrunk a little bit because it's still, it was an oversight on my part when I designed it. I just, I went with a size. I started with the size of the granite that was discussed, and then I built the structure around it, and then, and it just got so wide. But we'd have to shrink it down a little bit, but not much. Mm-hmm. I think right now on the option one that was shown up there, the granite is about 4 foot by 10 foot. I was just talking with Mr. Greenaway, and he thought maybe we would go with a 6x12. With the triangular one, we could probably do that. 6x12 with this configuration, we don't quite have enough room in the proposed location to be able to do that. I could probably tweak the structure a little bit, but with the granite being so big and such a statement, you want the structure. It's only about 15 inches tall. If you were to fill that halfway, and in whatever shrubs are in there, it would basically just be raised up a little bit. It really isn't going to be like a raised planter bed.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Councilwoman Fonzie.
None of us are architects, and you are.
Yes.
I'm hoping that we can come up with something that's simple and has some dignity. I really don't like the banners, for instance. I think that they're superfluous and take away from the monument itself, but I'm not sure that either one of these quite are as simple as I would like them to be. I don't know if any of the other council members feel that way, but is there any way to design them slightly different to take away some of the fussiness of Design 1, let's say, without the pergola, perhaps?
Right, and that was the reason why I went with because this was the first design. Then I went to the triangular one, and my purpose was to simplify the structure as much as possible, to have it be less. I didn't want this, looks nice. I think it looks nice, but it started to be a little bit too busy, maybe a little bit too much. The other one, that was why I went with this simple gray concrete. I really tried to understate the structure, but it has to be beefy enough because these granite slabs are going to be huge. They have to be able to support it. Plus, there's a balance. If you've got these puny pillars holding up this base, this big black granite, I think it'll look out of balance and it won't look right. So I feel that's really simple. It's there's not a lot of design to the entire structure as far as this detail. It's just a shape and a structure holding up large granite pieces.
Well, I'm inclined to agree with you that I like two better than one, but I wonder what is on the back of that piece of granite. Is it going to be the granite itself, or is it going to be something different?
It would most likely just be the granite. The granite, if I'm not mistaken, is about 3 inches thick. So the carvings that goes, is it 4 inches? 4 inches thick. So it's a really thick piece of granite. And it'll be, I imagine it'll be finished on the back. And even if it's not, it's not really that visible. But if it was just a rough, if that happened to be a rough site, I don't personally see that as being a detraction, especially if you, there's enough room in there to plant a tree that would essentially at some point hide anything that might be viewed as unsightly.
So in your opinion, in terms of scale, is this going to overpower the Veterans Memorial? It's too large?
I don't think it will. I think it. I personally think it would complement it with the size of it and the statement that they're trying to make out at the street. And also the where this is located.
It, the sign. And as far as the back goes, you know, there's so many wonderful military sayings and stuff. Since the walkway will go right behind it, the back of it could have some, you know, some military verbiage and stuff like that. Yeah. So that'd be something to think about.
We had discussed that. Again, this is something for Mark Greenaway would have to answer to. But my concern is etching on both sides might compromise the strength of the granite. You don't want, because, I mean, it is 4 inches thick, but they're going in, I don't know how deep. It might, I don't know if it's going to weaken it, but if that's a possibility to etch something on the inside of it, that I think that would be fantastic.
Just something to think about. But thanks, Mark, and, mm-hmm. and I still like to.
Thank you. And we are continuing on in the middle of public comment. We are starting with representatives from the Veterans Memorial, and we have some council questions to the last speaker. So, Councilmember Sturdivant.
Just two questions. On the design number one, are those two four-inch pieces back-to-back? Because it's going to be seen from both sides.
Those would be back-to-back, yes. Yeah.
So whether it's design one or two, you're still needing to the two slabs of granite. So.
That's correct.
And just out of curiosity, when you, because this, when Brady showed us the earlier slide of the zoo front project, there was actually that the new sign he showed us at the zoo, at the entrance to the zoo park, or the, it looked very similar to this pergola design and, right there, or something like that. So I was kind of, you know, looking at that and thinking about our branding and thinking about how we're trying to get this continuity of look in our city. I'd see something like that and think, you know, with the pergola and the granite and plants or no plants, there's kind of a tie there between the lake and the Veterans Memorial is more of a, rather than having two totally different signs in within the same vicinity. So,
and you know, I think I saw this first before I started the design, so I went with that craftsman style pergola type of look. It's a different design, but it says the same sort of architectural language. And when I went to the second design, my idea was it is a separate facility and it is for a separate purpose. So I wanted to really tie it much more closely into the memorial wall that's there, and it, still maintaining the river rock. So it has, you know, a little bit of a correlation to it, but for the most part, it's, you know, more geared towards the memorial wall itself. So again, two totally different designs. That was, you know, I tried to really go from both extremes if possible.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you. If you could keep that picture up, because I'll have some questions myself. But any other council questions? And yet something unique that transitions to the memorial is important. And I guess the most important thing for me is to in no way distract or take away from the focus, which is the Veterans Memorial, and it might be good to hear from Mark Greenaway, but I'd like to hear his opinion about what he thinks in relation to the sign and the memorial itself.
Thank you, Mayor and Council.
Thank you, Mark. And welcome, Mark.
Thanks, Mark. He was supposed to speak for two marks, I told him. So, well, I wasn't prepared to speak, but I will. Simplicity is good. Mark had mentioned 6 foot. I did something about 6 by 12. Really, a 5 foot high by 10 to 12 foot piece would be very, very good. You're right as far as not taking away from the memorial itself. And if you get too busy on the columns, it does get a little busy. But if the concrete pillars were stayed as concrete, as Mark had mentioned, that the sign would really pop, be very, very clean, and it would pick up the theme of our memorial. So
do we have a picture of that double sign that had a little, maybe a lower scale?
And I personally had liked the one, number one, but after listening to you guys, I'm kind of waffling between two. I mean, both of them. So I think that's your decision as a board to come to, but I'm getting to where I like them both.
Now, as we're looking at it, it's a simpler design, and I think that's what Councilman Fonzie was wanting to consider. And so those two, you'd have two granite slabs there, and those would be three concrete pillars.
Mm-hmm. And real clean. It picks up the memorial wall of the concrete already, which it really helps pop off all the engravings with the black, with the people's names on them, and also the memorial sculpture. So,
yeah, I'm thinking that is looking like a possibility. Is there any river rock in this down below?
It would be very, very nice to tie it in, and that's very important to tie it all together with
Let
river
me
rock.
Point that out here, Mayor. If there's some right here at the base of this column. There's some here at the base of this column, and likewise for this column. And then the columns themselves would be the concrete treatment, as well as most of the base down here that was not directly below the three columns.
And I'd like, also like to mention
across the bottom, three concrete pillars up. It'd be the black granite two signs and then some up lighting.
We have been contacted by Vista, who donated $30,000 worth of lighting, and they told me on Veterans Day that they would love to participate and donate all the lighting for this too.
Very good. Thank you. We have Councilmember Clay, then Councilmember Sturdivant. Questions?
Yeah, Mark, wouldn't you agree that the triangular sign, you know, gives more visibility for people that are driving by to recognize what we've done out there?
Tonight I'm reassessing it, and I'm bending more that way, even though I was kind of pretty much like the other design, but that's for you guys to consider.
If I could intervene before we move on, could you tell us why you like the other sign initially?
I thought it read better as far as it's up a little. I thought it was possibly up a little higher where people could see it. But after listening to everybody tonight, I think they both read well.
Thank you. We have, I still have Councilmember Clay. You're concluded? Okay. We're very good. We have Councilmember Sturdivant, then Councilwoman Fonzie.
And Mark, actually that was kind of my concern in looking between, you know, one, just the lettering in one just is so clean and just so, it just pops. And I was curious about the lettering on it, because it looks like two is a wider panel. Is that so it's, they're stacked, the lettering is, Faces of Freedom is larger, and then Veterans Memorial is kind of tucked off to the right?
As far as the dimensions?
The way the wording is actually done.
Oh, I think that's just loosely put in by Mark just to give us an idea.
So it's going
to
be the same?
It would look probably, it'd be probably the same text, real similar text we use, really clean, and you'd see it from a long distance.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Mark, I've been to the memorial 100 times. I'm trying to remember how the walls are with the names in the behind the, the statue. Are they curved or are they...
They're faceted. They're faceted. They're not curved, but that's the appearance we're trying to give.
They're straight, but they're not a straight line there.
No. They're faceted to like a semicircle.
Right. That I think that was what I was remembering as well. And I think with the V-shaped sign, it kind of encompasses
it
and draws it into your arm. So, you know, it's almost a hug. I mean, that's kind of a cliche, but it has a certain amount of consistency to it with the double-sided sign there.
That's a good point.
Thank you.
For the memorial, banners would be fine, but I look at this as a satellite to the memorial, and that they're both together, and it's not a place to do any advertising or what have you. I consider the memorial a very honorable place, and I would consider this sign to be a very honorable area, too. And I think the simplicity of it really brings more attention to it for what it is. So my preference would be design number two.
Thank you. Councilmember Clay.
I'd like to make a motion that we accept design number two.
I'll second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Clay, seconded by Councilmember Kelly.
Could we have an amendment, or would you consider an amendment?
Sure.
And that would be to take out the plants at the bottom and just keep it clean and simple.
Oh, yeah, I don't. I realize there'd be plants. I don't think there should be plants. Yeah.
Me too.
So we've modified the motion, and that's accepted to the maker and the second.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I see some more discussion on the motion. Councilmember Sturdivant.
Well, just a question about what Brady Cherry had brought up about the funding. Is that something that we have to incorporate in this and what we're talking about, or is that just something
I think
happens?
That's part of staff's recommendation, as I understand, that if there is some savings that can be applied towards this during the project, it will be, and if not, it goes on to the association.
Thank you.
Call for the question.
And I'm seeing our city manager walking about. Anything? Did you need to offer any input? Okay, we have a motion on the floor. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Clay.
Yes.
Councilmember Fonzie.
Yes.
Councilmember Sturdivant.
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Kelly.
Yes.
And Mayor O'Malley.
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
Thank you. And I'll just offer my final comment as a thank you once again to the Veterans Memorial Foundation for all of their work and service and the great artists we have that working with them. Thank you.
Could I make a comment?
Sure.
Okay, I'd like to reiterate that. The committee moves on, it changes, and you know, there's always work to be done out there, and we appreciate you. And please pick up a tree in my truck when you go out, all right?
But do not plant it near the Veterans Memorial, because you'll get really big. Thank you. Thank you. We'll move on to our next agenda item, which is number 2, memorandum.
That's quite a title that you just read there. Yes, Jim Lewis, Assistant City Manager, and tonight I'm speaking to you as your Human Resources Director. We're presenting to you agreements for all employee associations and indeed the resolution that governs non-represented employees. And we have some really good news to share tonight, and tonight we really hope to feature with you who our employees are and what they do for the community, and really share with you while many communities are still having debate and issue with labor and management and the council. Your community, our community, has showed leadership and really come together, and we're pleased to share that with you tonight. So we are asking you to approve memorandums of understanding. An MOU basically is a contract for labor under California government code. Unionized organizations such as our city has a contract between workers that delineates wages, terms, and conditions of employment. And so that's what an MOU basically is. It's a contract. You do have 4 groups. So some of your employees are not represented. They're not in a union. Your executive management team, your division managers, and the confidential employees who are part of the negotiating process. They're covered by this resolution that you see here. Adoption of the agreements this evening will result in a savings of annually of nearly $300,000 to the city's general fund. So you do have 4 bargaining groups. We'll talk about them more in detail. You can see them listed there in front of you. And all of the agreements expire on June 30th, 2011. So tonight's action is timely. I wanted to remind you a little bit about the organization, remind the community. We do have 117 full-time employees. We're down 13.3% from our high in 2008. And that was a result of some hiring freezes, layoffs, et cetera, action you took at the very beginning of the economic crisis. The council was very forward-thinking and took action quickly. And so our organization is a bit leaner, and we continue to staff at that level. We are down almost 1 employee per 1,000 residents to 4.1 from 5. And employee costs are approximately $12.3 million of your $16.8 million general fund. So employee salaries and benefits, because you're a service organization, account for 73% of expenses. And that's pretty consistent in cities because, again, you are a service organization. It takes people to deliver your services. So when we started looking at reducing the general fund further, as revenues have continued to tighten, it was important that the employees become partners in that, that we work together to try and figure out how to do that, because that, again, was 73% of the budget. Our situation continues to be difficult. You heard that 2 weeks ago at your meeting where you approved unanimously the city budget. Our sales and property taxes are well off peaks, in some cases double digits. Our local funds continue our employees on their contracts. Your direction to us was to reform the city's pension system, reduce pension costs, reduce expenses to employee services, that 73% number, stabilize our expenses over the 2-year budget if possible, and to treat employees equally. You had said that you valued all employee groups. And so based on that, we worked with the employees to come up with contracts that you see tonight. We can't emphasize enough, again, you'll hear me say many times tonight, how great your staff is, and that our employees are truly a team. And like any family or any team, there's disagreements at times between us, but in the end, everyone came together to do the best they could for the community, and we're very pleased to share that. We've been meeting with the employees since April. We shared budget information with them as we had it, and they shared it amongst each other. The employees recognized our financial problems, and they saw them quickly, and they wanted to contribute towards that need. Salary reductions are difficult. I'll make note that employees are going to have a lower paycheck starting July 1st, like many other people. And so that's difficult. And while I don't think anyone's tickled about that, they see the need for the sustainability of the organization, and they wanted to be a team player. And again, you're not seeing that action in a lot of cities around the state, or the nation for that matter. So we're very proud of them. So this is a summary of the agreements before you. There are four agreements. They're all similar. Again, part of your direction to be equal with the staff. You are adopting a two-tier system. So this is part of the pension reform. Pensions will move from a benefit of 2.5 at 55, which is 2.5% of salary for each year of service at 55 for miscellaneous, down to 2%. So that benefit is 25% less that you're adopting for new hires. This applies to new hires effective July 12. Why that year or why that time? That'll be a question. It takes CalPERS that long to process a contract amendment. As you can imagine, two-tiered systems are very popular right now. Many of the cities are processing these. The PERS staff itself has been cut back, and they're also subject to the state furloughs. And so PERS has slowed down the processing of these amendments. Safety will move from 3% at 50 to 3% at 55. Again, a reduction in benefit. And the benefit will be based from single highest year to three highest year average, which is a way you can prevent pension spiking. Now, we don't have that here. That's not a practice we employ, but people who have been concerned about that in other organizations, this is a step you take to prevent that. And again, this will be effective on new hires July 1st, 2012. And so you'll have one tier of employees in one system, a second tier in another. Additional contributions from employees between 2.55 and 0.7, so all employees contribute equally across the board. There's a two-year term on these agreements. So again, this continue through the budget cycle. So per your direction, your costs will be stabilized through the two-year budget, which is, I think, a good thing as we look forward and plan. And one of the things that's also including the agreements is employees can use 16 hours of their existing sick leave for personal needs. And this is the reason I think this is of interest. One, when employees have child care issues or court issues or other family issues that aren't necessarily for sick leave, our sick leave policy is very straightforward, that it is if you are sick or an immediate family member is sick that you can care for them. This broadens us a little bit for 16 hours, and we believe this is keeping up with employee needs, but also we believe this will reduce the cost of your sick leave buyback program. And so right now, employees who do not use their sick leave after they've reached a certain amount of sick leave can sell some of that every December of each year. And so actually, if employees are using these 16 hours, that'll be 16 less hours they can actually sell back to the city in December, which will reduce that outlay, which is a good budget tool as well. So this was kind of a win-win we saw as we were working with the staff. The resolution in front of you that we've talked about, so that covers the four MOUs, the high points. Those are the only parts of the MOU that are changing. The resolution in front of you applies again to your non-represented employees. It is the exact same, the conditions in that resolution, as the MOUs. There's one exception, and you'll notice there was a change. The change that you had, I'll speak to in just a little bit, that simply clarified that for the safety employees covered by the resolution, the fire chief and police chief, that they would be in the safety pension. That language was missing. It was an oversight from the staff. The one additional part of the resolution that is not included in the other MOUs is continuance of a furlough program for the executive management employees. And I wanted to speak to that. I'm going to try and walk through this chart a little bit. I know there's been some confusion about this. So forgive me as I look to the monitor. The pre-furlough salary, as an example of your executive managers, would be $100,000. Looking at that, saying June 1st of 2008, that would have been the salary. For the year July 1st, 2008 to June 30, 2010, your executive team has taken a 3% salary cut that reduced their salary to $97,000 in this example. The furlough was indeed a use of hours. So hours were given to managers that they needed to take off work because their pay was cut 3%. The reason you cannot say to an executive manager, you're getting the week off, as some organizations between Christmas and New Year's, is because a scheduled week off could jeopardize their FLSA 0.55% PERS contribution that all staff are receiving. The salary drops to $97,450. You can see the concern here is that in this case, if we took the same as the contracts that the other employees are taking, because the managers had a 3% cut, then their salary could possibly increase. And that obviously is not acceptable, nor did the management team want to be in a situation where they were getting any sort of raise in this environment. And so by saying that the furlough program had to continue of at least 1%, and this again gives hours, and there's been a question, why would someone take 3%? Some of the managers value that time. They like the furlough time. We've actually seen in human resource publications that the furloughs of this recession have become very popular with employees, that time having Fridays off or whatnot. And so that's why you might see that. But in this case, adding the 1% on top of the 2.55%, if someone took the minimum, would result in a salary of $96,450 less than today. I think that's an important point. So there's nothing tricky here. It's simply the cut that all the employees are getting additionally plus the furlough results in an even lower salary. And that was the goal, that the executive management team would continue to have a reduced salary. And so tonight, I had mentioned that the resolution has updated language about safety pension costs. That's simply something that should have been there before. It wasn't included. The MOU for the SEIU group, Service Employees International Union, the date was effective July 9 through 11, I believe it said. I'm sorry, 10 through 11. Obviously, the contract should be effective through the 11 through 13. So the agreement in front of you, we're asking for that correction on the term of the agreement that the mayor would actually sign. So again, I want to start talking about our employees now. I think that's what's in front of you this evening. They were part of the solution. We are so proud of this staff and the fact that every day they come up with entrepreneurial ways to do things for you, whether that's trying to find a way to fix a fire engine 50% cheaper, finding ways to charge other governments for services so we're not charging our residents, finding ways to just perform tasks even smarter and better. You saw the staff is less, but we continue to do better with our permit streamlining and our business friendliness and our response to our streets. We continue to pave streets and continue to keep the parks looking well. And I think that just is the hard work of our staff. The staff are taking cuts of between $50 to $250 a month. That will be the impact to the staff. Again, we recognize that there are several in the community that have a worse cut than that. But I think it's important to recognize that the staff is voluntarily taking these cuts. They understood the need for sustainability. Some of them at the zoo. You can see Corey's here tonight planting trees. We're fixing up the zoo. You can see here some of the other staff at the pavilion, the pavilion workers involved. Here's our street guys paving one of our streets, their paving machine. This is an example of the guys saying, you know, we can actually pave streets cheaper and better. And so they started to do that. Let me actually go back to that slide. And we were able to pave more streets for our money because they realized that they could do it themselves. And here is Sherry and our wastewater, and Sandy, one of our building workers. You can see the tree guys working on a tree in the middle of the night. You can see these are some of our reception and administrative assistants that you see at City Hall that are our frontline customer service folks, our technology folks. You can see down at the bottom some of our Bridget and Callie you saw tonight, and Luke. And so that's a little bit about, I don't know why this is on autopilot here. That's a bit about SEIU. I've asked Mike Woods, who represents SEIU, to step forward. Mike, if you want to speak a little bit about Service Employees International, it would be great to have you speak about our staff and some of the things they do.
I'm Mayor O'Malley and City Council members. I'm really happy to be here this evening. I'm glad you allowed us to speak for a little while. As Jim has said, my name is Mike Woods. I'm the field representative for Service Employees International Union, Local 620. And we cover primarily the Santa Barbara and San Luis Obispo counties. We have 23 agencies that we do represent throughout the area. We have approximately 3,800 folks that we represent throughout both counties. We wanted to thank you for working cooperatively with us through this contract phase. It was a real quick and easy process because our folks were willing to give the things that they needed to give to help the city through the financial hardships that we're going through right now with the economy. They got the idea. You know, when they went to these meetings that was put on by the executive management throughout the city, they got the idea of what this is, what's happening. We need to do something. You know, we need to give back, you know, because of the things that we've been received in the past. And that's where they went. Just to give you an idea of what we represent, you know, we represent several different types of individuals throughout the city. We represent clerical. We represent folks in the planning department. We represent the folks at the zoo, wastewater, water treatment. We also do the clerical folks that work in the fire department and the police department. You know, there's a lot of skilled positions throughout the city that are folks, wages, that kind of thing. So and it's real tough for them to give up the things that they give up. But they were willing to do that and work well with the city. We did this whole thing and with Jim and Rochelle, and three meetings we were done, you know, with the whole thing. And I like I say, I represent, you know, right now I have my responsibility is 7 agencies throughout San Luis and Santa Barbara County. And I've been at some tables, you know, 8 to 10 sessions already, and we're moving nowhere with a couple of these agencies. So we really appreciate the hard work that you folks did and the work that our folks did. So we do have a little video presentation I'd like Jim to show. This is we've been working with the, because of the fact that the employees do take a beating in the media, and these are a program that we've just put together. And we're doing these on the major networks, KSBY, KEYT, KCOY, and these will be hitting the airways here as I speak. So, Jim, you want to show that?
The water flowing in every house and business to maintain the roads and signs that keep our community running smoothly, to keep our community disease-free through vaccinations and education. We work to control floods and to keep the pumps running during a fire, to keep our courts and criminal justice system working efficiently, to dispose of waste and trash so that our community is clean and healthy. We are public employees. We are Local 620.
Thank you. And we have a couple of gentlemen here that would like to speak also on the behalf of the city employees. And Tom, you want to come up?
Thank you, Mr. Woods. Welcome, Tom.
Mr. Mayor, Honorable Councilman, Tom Jamison with the Parks Maintenance Staff. I've had the considerable privilege to work for the city for 27, work for the citizens of the city of Atascadero for 27 years. In that time, I've seen a lot of changes. I've worked for 5 city managers and quite a few department heads and a lot of very good employees. I've had the particular honor of working with 4 and now 5 co-workers in the Parks Department, and we have a combined experience in the city in the Parks Department of over 100 years. And with that experience, we've been instrumental in providing a quality park experience for the visitors of Atascadero and for the citizens. I've also had the management to address the challenges, as we did when some of you remember during the Orange County situation. It seemed like it was another economic challenge. And we continue to look forward to work with the city of Atascadero and address whatever challenges that may come. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Jamison. Welcome, Corey.
Good evening, Corey Meyer. Was hired in 1985 into the Community Services Department at that time, and it was Parks, Recreation, and Zoo, and I spent time being park maintenance and split duties with Zoo, and it was quite an experience. And then shortly after that, we started developing Paloma Creek Park. It wasn't even opened, and I got in on a lot of the ground work. Construction on Paloma Creek Park, building the softball fields out there. After that, I also got privileged to do some construction at what we call the Traffic Way ball field, which is now called Colony Park. I also work on tree planting projects for the city. I'm really proud about that. Work with the Community Development Department. And with the Atascadero Native Tree Association, and we plant trees on open spaces. And that along with my duties taking care of the lake park, it keeps me quite busy. I also do water testing of the lake for water quality. I do dissolved oxygen and algae counts as part of my duties for that, so we can kind of follow the trends and monitor that on a weekly basis. But I do really enjoy working for the city of Atascadero. I'm also an SEIU union steward, and just look forward to keep on working here in the future. And thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Meyer.
So next we salute the Atascadero professional firefighters. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Mark. Go ahead.
I'll be quick.
Welcome, Mark.
Hi, folks. My name is Mark Russo, and I'm a grateful employee of the city of Atascadero and all the people in it. I work in the streets department, and I'm proud of that, and I love working there. I love working with the people around me, and I like making a difference. We trim trees, we change signs, we paint curves, we clean out storm drains, we clean up down trees. We're there helping people, and it's really neat. I mean, I can remember with the chipping program, we all work together, and it's pretty neat. If we stood apart, we'd fall apart. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Russo.
So we want to salute next the Atascadero professional firefighters. And our firefighters, I think, exemplify a commitment to service to this community. Many of them live here. We routinely hear that they're the highest trained and regarded fire department in the county. They keep the equipment in just tip-top shape. Part of their commitment you see in several volunteer activities and commitments. I think one of those you'll see next is in Bill White here. He just exemplifies a lot of the service and spirit, I think, of our firefighters. And he's president of the association. You can see him in a very dapper-looking suit where he raised nearly $12,000 for our library dancing with a partner as the champion of Dancing with the Stars. The firefighters also contribute to a burn camp for young people. They raise all kinds of money in the community, and most notably they're raising money for a disaster response trailer. And they're voluntarily doing that. There's not public money in that, and that is something that will serve us all. And so I think to tell you more about just the heart and the spirit of our firefighters is President Bill White of the Atascadero Professional Firefighters Local 3600.
Welcome, Captain.
Thank you, Mayor. And thank you, Jim, for showing off my chest hair there. I appreciate that. By the way, the Friends of the Library is a great fundraising. They're trying to open up the library, and I'm going to use this to pitch it again. So if anybody still wants to give money to the library, we're making great strides in that direction, getting that library open. So donate early and often. Good evening, members of City Council, city staff, family, friends, and citizens of Atascadero. As been said, my name is Bill White, and I'm the president of the Atascadero Professional Firefighters Local 3600. I'm a 28-year resident of Atascadero, and like three-quarters of our full-time staff, a graduate of Atascadero High School. I've also had, I also have 20 years of full-time firefighting experience. I started off as a high school cadet when I was 17 years old in high school, and have been with the department ever since. It's just a wonderful, wonderful agency to work for. We got a great fire chief and leader who's taken us in great directions. Tonight, I'd like to give you a brief overview of our department and our department's mission statement. Our department is considered an all-risk agency, which means we don't simply respond to fires. We handle medical emergencies as paramedic providers, hazardous materials incidents, vehicle accidents, mass casualty incidents, technical rescues, raise money for various fundraising events because we care deeply about our community and want what is best for our community. When we have come before you in the past, it has always been with the financial health of the city in mind. We have championed and advocated for commercial and retail development because we know that these types of projects will help pave our streets, water and care for our parks, provide our youth with a safe environment to recreate, and provide our community with police and fire protection. Our membership takes great pride in our community and the services we provide. We are our community's fire department. Thank you.
Thank you, Captain White.
We'd next like to feature the Atascadero Police Association. And yes, this is your police department. I think you come to the slides down here. So you can see here that the police department, as we know, is always running one way when we're running the other way. And Our police department, again, is well-trained. They are proud of their training. They serve, as you'll hear, on several committees and task forces throughout the county. Again, our members are always counted on. Our department enjoys grant writing. I think you'll hear from Caleb Davis, the president of the Police Association. He's a very avid grant writer and has brought in well over $100,000 to this community for special enforcement that saves lives. And here I think you can see him on a motor. You'll see a picture of a DUI checkpoint here and the next picture right here. The department works very aggressively to secure grants for technology. You can see a dispatcher here, Aaron, with four monitors in front of her. That technology allows us to respond quicker and safer. Ann has been the queen of the police department. She handles all of the records, dispatch, et cetera. Here you can see these pictures here of some of our officers. Rochelle Hansen here is on the right. And I want to speak to these people because they never speak about themselves publicly. And I think this picture, when we were looking for these, I asked her, that's interesting, you're wearing your vest. That looks like you were just in a situation there. What occurred? And she said, well, there was kind of a drug bust gone bad. It was a robbery, a burglary. People stole a bunch of things, including this young girl's dog. And so once the situation was safe and stable and the young lady was returned home, Rochelle continued to think. She could see the tears in the young lady, and she said, I'm going to find that dog. And in her off time, she was looking around Paso Robles, where some of the other materials had been. She was a detective at the time, recovered the stolen property, but there was no dog. You know, last they'd let it go. And she noticed in her own time some signs advertising a dog that were somewhat similar. And she actually questioned the people and found this was the girl's dog, and she returned it to her. And I think that just exemplifies, I think, the commitment and service of your association. As you see in the pictures, our police department and our association consists of all the line-level officers, all of our sergeants, and all of our administrative people, and all of our dispatchers. As the economy has gotten a little bit worse, the police department, like most places, have just gotten a little bit busier. And it's like all the other people in the society right now, we're just working hard and keeping your head down and getting stuff done. And we're proud of where we're at. We've really made a lot of progress in the last few years, and we're excited about the future. Our association, over the last 3 years, has really tried to take a more proactive role in the community. We decided that we wanted to try and start giving back to the community, and sat down together and tried to figure out how we could go about doing that. We have, over the last year, we had our first annual golf tournament, which was very nice and productive for us. We were able to raise $6,000 and donate all that back to the Community Services Foundation, which I know you guys are aware of. With that, we know we were able to allow some kids to play sports that would not have been able to do so if that hadn't come through. And that was just a testament of the community coming together, and we just happened to be the funnel that everybody came through and donated the money, which was really nice. We also have donated several different areas this last past year, including the high school's Boosters Club. That's one area we really focused on. We decided that the youth of our community are our future, and that's where we wanted to focus our efforts. Last year we were able to donate over $10,000 to the community from a variety of funds. And it's important to say that all that money that we donate, besides the golf tournament, which we raised $6,000, comes directly out of the officers' pockets. We don't do any other fundraising, so it's nice that the officers all have taken it on themselves to take that step and give back to the community. So we're excited about that. We look forward to the future. This year we're doing another golf tournament, and we're hoping to hit a little bit more money and donating back to the same place and Community Services Foundation, so we can hopefully keep all that afloat. We understand money's tight, as we all know. We've seen all the charts, and the Community Services Foundation has lost some money as a result of that, and we're glad that we can help supplement that over the next few years. So anyways, just wanted to give you a quick idea of the police department and association, where we're at, and I thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you, Officer Davis.
The Mid-Managers and Professional Employee Association is your fourth MOU, and they're a group that is small but mighty. They consist of four employees, but I wanted to share what these four employees do. They're very professional and technical in nature, and I think they represent some of our big supervisors or the staff that work for them. Those positions were laid off, and so they're pretty much doing this on their own. Concerts in the park, movies, cruise night, all the major events that we enjoy. Bob Joslin here on the left of the screen manages our capital projects, especially in our public right-of-way, and I think we've been seeing a lot of that happening, and so he's been very busy and always tries to find ways to reduce costs and bring projects in on time. And so, Dave, I'd like to introduce the president of the Mid-Managers to say a few words.
Good evening, Mayor and Council members. My name is Dave Melhausen. I represent the Mid-Management Group. We're a group of four people, like Jim said, but collectively we have 60 years of experience working for the city. Our group consists of Paula Anton, Jennifer Fanning, Bob Jocelyn, and myself. You know, we're the smallest group here tonight, but, you know, we have the same amount of pride and dedication in what we do as the largest groups. We want to thank the management for their constant support during the difficult negotiation process. The Mid Management Group is proud to be part of the solution in these negotiations. Economic times are very hard for us all, but we believe if we all work together, we can make it through this. You know, I asked Jennifer and Paula to send me a little description of what they do so I could share it with you, and it turned out to be like two pages. So I'll just real quick, you know, Jennifer Fanning, some of the things that she does: Colony Park Community Center Director, Youth Basketball League Coordinator, 350-plus participants, Youth Volleyball League Coordination, 75-plus participants, Atascadero Magazine, overseeing Smart Start Youth Programs, Parks and Recreation Commission Liaison. Paula Anton, Supervisor of Aquatics Programs, Adult Sports, Youth T-Ball, special events that include Concert in the Park, Movie in the Park, El Camino Cruise Night, supervises the skate park, and supervises the Monster Skate Series committee member, or is a committee member, rather. And, of course, Bob, Capital Projects Manager. Bob deals with city construction projects from start to finish. Just a little bit of what I do in specialties when they were outgrowing their building there. They were talking about moving to Paso. So we all got together and found them a building, and now they're still here, and we're real proud of that one. That's about it, you know. I also do, I assist the fire marshal in code enforcement cases. Over the past 3 years, was a training coordinator for ICC Central Coast Chapter, and brought training to the city of Atascadero for a couple of different reasons: to save the city money and to get us trained, the required training that we need, and most important was to bring people to the city. You know, if they don't come here, then they don't know what we have to offer. So we were doing 70 people plus per seminar, from people from Santa Barbara and all the way to Paso. So that worked out really good, and that's all I have. Thanks very much for your time.
Well, thank you, Mr. Mehlhausen. You know, you did such a good job. Maybe we could have the city manager have you give a report every council meeting. I know you'd really enjoy that. Thank you.
Our final group is the non-represented employees, and that's your management team and your confidential staff. And I just thought we'd go through a few pictures of them, and then I'll wrap up. Many of these faces you're going to know. You're Jeff English, your Deputy Director of Parks and Public Works, your building officials, your chiefs, Brady Cherry, your Parks and Rec Director, Russ Thompson, your city engineer. These are ladies in our, you know, your city clerk, Marcia Torgerson, the support staff in our office, Victoria and Lisa, that manage the council agenda. The finance team, what could we do without them? We couldn't do anything, and so they continue to bring us. That's a picture I had to include of them, just to show you that's what they do. Excellent. After the budget's done at midnight. They have to have a good time and relieve the stress somehow. And so that's your executive managers. Our recommendation tonight is that you approve the MOUs and resolution with corrections in front of you. Thank you. That concludes our presentation.
Thank you very much, and I will look to lights. We will just stay with questions. I want to go to public comment and then come back for comments. I do want to just read the mission statement on the back of all of our cards after hearing all of this, and I think the luncheon we'll be doing here a little bit later in the week. But truly, we greatly appreciate our staff. They have sacrificed a lot. We know it as council members, done an outstanding job serving our community. And I just appreciate all of the staff. I had an opportunity to talk with Mike Woods of SEIU a little bit in the hallway one day, time or two after negotiations, and it was such an honor for me to hear of his experience with many other cities, and it hasn't gone as well. And I was very pleased to hear of the relationship we have developed with our employees, and we expect that from our management team. We want to be a team here. And, you know, I hear stories of attorneys at the county, a little battle with their employers. I hear of other departments that we've all heard here from tonight in other cities and their struggles. And I know I speak for all the council that we are just very proud of our employees, and we're honored to be partners with you as well. I do feel that probably the best two summation statements I heard tonight came from Mark. Thank you for coming out. Two statements, I've got them in quotes. It takes all of us, and we all work together. Great statements. With that, we have Councilman Clay.
Hey, I'm not going to ask a question, but I'm going to do just what you did.
I'm going to have to let you do it. I'm going to have to let you do it.
Yeah, okay. Well,
we're all going to do it.
You know,
go ahead.
My support for city staff is ongoing. I've been on this thing for 14 years, you know, I recognize right off the bat that, you know, what a great bunch of people we have. And, you know, I've seen them working in Little League and Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts and all this stuff and giving back to the community. So, you know, I've always been a strong supporter. But the story about the dog really got to me. You know, I mean, gosh dang, that's over and above, what a person should do. And I agree with Tom, the employee who said that we're all in this together and we try to help each other, department, regardless. I think it's really important, and that's what I see. And, you know, the fact that the employees give back to the community is so important to me. Anyway, and the word pride come up, you know, and I think that's, you know, and I think we're all in it together, you know. We're in the same boat together with all the employees. And this negotiation that went
on. Go down to the EVC where almost all the cities are represented and the county. I get asked all the time, how do you guys do it up there? You guys don't seem to have any trouble. All of your employees get along. We don't ever hear anything about bad negotiations. You got streamlined permit process. Everybody's friendly. I go through town. I check where people have opened new businesses, and everybody says, I had 100% cooperation. It's straight across the board all the time. And it's everybody. And like Mark said, it's all of us working together. I mean, and you are the guys that make us look good by doing all the work. And, you know, the negotiations that went on this year, I don't know what happened behind closed doors, but it appears to me it went very, very smoothly, and there's no more that we can ask of for you guys. And it's not our pleasure to make these sacrifices. We don't want to do that, but we certainly appreciate the cooperation that you give us so that the city can move forward in a positive way. And I hope that all of you come to our barbecue on Thursday, because it's all for you guys, and we'll all be there cooking for you and thanking you for the great job that you all do. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilman Sturdivant?
Well, I so many different thoughts that I'm almost speechless, because I myself have been a union member now for over 30 years with the IBEW, and this is my first negotiating round, and I was absolutely just blown away by the professionalism and the understanding and the caring for the city and for the working together as a team. I am proud, and I am humbled to be on the city council, to be able to be part of this group, to work together with you. With this city staff and everyone that we have, that we're all working together, There's no end to the good things that can occur, what we can do, what we can work through, what we can come up with to get around obstacles. There's the sky's the limit, because you don't take no for an answer. You find a way to make things happen.
like that entrepreneurial spirit. I mean, that's extremely rare to find in an environment, in a union environment. I'm very proud of all of you, and I'm glad that we're in this together. I'm glad that we're working together. We can work together, and I'm looking forward to continue working together with you for as we go on in the future. Thank you.
There could be something going on in planning. It could be code enforcement. We can't even name all the things that we're aware of because we interact with the public, and they come to us, and they tell us things that are needing correction. And we turn to you, and you respond. And we definitely notice these things, that you are a cut above, I believe, other cities' employees. And although we have very different political viewpoints on many things, some of us, we are all able to work towards a common goal that's for the good of the city and of the citizens. And I just want to say I appreciate it.
Thank you. Councilman Clay, did you have another
yes,
comment?
Yes. I just wanted to commend the police department for what they're doing with their fundraiser and direction towards youth programs, and I really appreciate that. I think that you're really doing a great job there. And because of the economy, we're only going to have hot dogs and hamburgers now on Thursday, all right? Just want you to recognize that. And then, you know, this song, We Are Family, I think, you know, it kind of fits the whole.
And Jerry will be singing that on Thursday.
Why not?
Thank you. Well, I think we needed to share from our hearts, as I think you all have done too, and you know, you are appreciated. With that, we are going to move on to public comment. Welcome.
Jim Shannon, Atascadero. It's great to hear that the union reps and the city were able to get together and negotiate this and work this out, and it's nice to hear that, because you look you know, across our county, other cities, and even the county itself, with the things that they're going through, with the county council wanting to sue the county and the San Luis police officer suing San Luis City and Paso having rumblings there, to hear that these different unions and reps here put what's best for the citizens here first, and I think they did that in negotiations, and I'm sure that they had to give and take, as the city did. And don't know what happened there, but whatever you guys did, thank you for that. You know, because you hear about these other unions, even locally or across the nation, where they put their greed and their selfishness first before what's best for the people who's actually paying their wages, like me. I'm speaking here as just a citizen of Atascadero, so I thank you guys. And again, I've spoke before about how proud I am of my city and the work that you all do. But you know, like the road crew, I see those guys out there all the time doing their job and doing the hard grunt work that they do, and the police and fire, how the unions negotiated to make things work. And maybe we can be a model for our county and our country maybe as well, because you know, I know that a lot of these unions that you know, I'm not a union guy, man. I'm anti-union at times, but I'm proud to hear what you guys did and how they worked together. You know, my issues there are that, you know, there are these guys, they have these jobs, they have benefits, and sometimes I might have to give a little bit. Well, I'm a guy that's looking for a job and have lost a lot of things, so when I see people griping and complaining about having to pay a little bit more for the health care or something like that, you know, that doesn't cut it with me. So I just am here to say that you guys that do have these jobs and have these pensions and benefits, hang on to them and be thankful for what you have, because it can change in a hurry anyway. But I, beyond that, just thank you for the work you guys do, and I appreciate everything that everybody does here. And this is a great city, and we're turning the corner, and we're someone to be reckoned with as we continue forward. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Shannon. Welcome. Next speaker.
I'm Joan O'Keefe, and FIRST is taking place here tonight. Never before have we had the memorandum of understanding with regard to negotiations, you know, at a management, where there's a public hearing. It's always been on the consent calendar. So thank you for doing that. Unfortunately, the information is available, and I seem to be about the only person who seems to be aware of that. This is a difference, but thanks for doing that. Mike Brendler did have an issue with regard to the compensation and benefit for the executive managers, and he couldn't be here. I understand that he did send you something, and I'm going to read some of this. He says that the, and this has been confirmed, that the Memorandum of Understanding suggests a 1-3% reduction in proposed executive management salaries, but these reductions shall be at the employee's discretion, with a minimum of 1% and a maximum of 3%. Said reductions will be substituted with furlough leave. And I have a problem with, I'm adding my own, with these definitions that are not made clear. Administrative leave, I asked about that, and I was told that it was in the personnel manual, and you don't have a definition. So those kinds of things, you know, make people question what's really going on, no definition of that. As related to the position of city manager, the difference between the value of the 3% reduction in salary and the value of the additional 62 hours administrative leave was $29.70. In summary, he says, whereas the other employee groups are incurring no salary increases during the next 2 years, the executive managers are in fact increasing their salaries by approximately 3.1%, and any potential reduction in salary by means of furlough is at the employee's discretion, limited to a minimum of 1% and a maximum of 3%. Any salary reduction will be substituted with furlough leave, which was previously referred to as administrative leave. Call it whatever you want. This leave has a value. He has some more, but
thank you,
I
Ms.
see
O'Keefe.
My time is up. Thank you.
Welcome. Next speaker.
Thank you, Mayor O'Malley. I'm addressing as a citizen, and I know the protocol is actually to address the council, but if I have your permission, I would actually like to take this opportunity to address your wonderful staff.
Did I hear you state your name?
You know, you didn't. My name is Karen Sturdivant, and I am a citizen of Atascadero. Do I have your permission to address
this? You have our permission.
Thank you, sir. I would just like to take this opportunity to thank everybody who works for the City of Atascadero and every worker for the City of Atascadero, because everything that you do for us. And we do appreciate it. And there's people that are at home, they're watching it on television, and there's people listening on the radio that aren't here to be able to say the words thank you. And we realize that when we're home, dry in a storm, and your trucks are pulling up, that you guys are the ones out getting wet. And when the sprinklers aren't working and it's 112, you guys are the ones keeping the lawns green. And when all of those things are happening and there's earthquakes or there's fires or there's men with guns or drug busts or all of those terrible things that are happening, you are the people that are coming and protecting us or saving us or keeping whatever it is we want done. You're getting it done, and you are helping all of the people of Atascadero. So if I may be so bold as to speak for the other people of my city, I would just like to say thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Sturdivant. Any other members of the public wishing to speak? Seeing none, we'll close public comment, bring it back to council. Staffing for adequate fire and emergency response grant.
Mr. Mayor, I'm sorry to interrupt you, Chief. My phone has been buzzing off the hook, and I just wanted to tell you that we are in a 19-19 tie with the Senate. And we've had several calls from the lobbyists in the last half hour that looks like the redevelopment will hold.
Whoa. Very good. Do we need to take a break and thank any of our senators or anything?
It works.
We're Let's doing get okay. Okay. Move on to next agenda item.
Don't forget those trees, folks.
You gave it your best shot, Jerry, I think.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I'll make this very brief for you. We're very pleased to bring to you the announcement that we've been awarded about a $206,000 grant. which will cover the staffing costs for a firefighter for 2 years. The Department of Homeland Security, through FEMA, passes out about $500 million annually. And we've got three guys that are very, very aggressive at grant writing, Casey, Dean, and Tom Little. And over the past 7 or so years, they've been able to rack up about $1.4 million in grants for the city. Those have gone to communications. They've gone all over the city, not just in the fire department. But before you tonight is, we're asking that you would accept this grant from FEMA. It's a 100% reimbursement of all costs for a firefighter, includes salary, benefits, retirement, workman's comp, the whole thing. No match. It does not include overtime. So if we have emergencies in town and that individual responds to those emergencies off duty, they would be compensated with overtime on the city's dollar. It's important to note that there is no obligation to retain this firefighter at the end of 2 years, though we would hope we would have the ability to. Given the economic climate and where we might be in 2 years, right now it seems like a long ways away, and in the meantime we could use the benefit of this firefighter for the next 2 years, courtesy of Homeland Security. And with that, I'll conclude my report and be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. I see... trying to figure out that was I can clear Wade as trying to figure out that was from
given the current economic climate, this one position has no strings with it at the end of the 2 year obligation grant period, and so with a straight face and a clear conscience I can recommend this position, but there's no way we could have recommended both.
Right, and with all our reserves, I'm sure there's a homegrown candidate out there for us.
We always try to grow them locally. As you heard, Bill White was one of our locally grown guys that was a cadet when he was 17 working on my shift.
Well, I think that's great, so I'm all for it.
Thank you. Councilwoman Fonzie.
Yes, Chief, will this also cover the uniforms and equipment and so forth that they'll be needing, or will that come from the city?
That would be on the city.
Okay, and also, will this be an open hire, or how will they be selected?
This would be the internal promotional hire, like we've done in all of the years past. We open hire into the reserves and seasonals, and then we promote from within the reserve and seasonal ranks.
Thank you.
Thank you. No other council questions. I'll open it up to the public. Seeing no one approach, we'll close public comment, bring it back to council, entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion that we approve this.
Second.
We have a motion by Mayor Pro Tem Kelly, seconded by Councilwoman Fonzie. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Fonzie.
Yes.
Councilmember Clay.
Yes.
Councilmember Sturdivant.
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Kelly.
Yes.
Mayor O'Malley.
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
Thank you. And good job, Chief. Move on to council announcements and reports. First, we'll go to any announcements council may have about their activities, and then we'll go on to the committee reports. Council announcements.
Well, I continue to eat at our good restaurants throughout town and find them wonderful, and I hope everybody else is doing the same.
Well, not only do we have some great restaurants, we have some great caterers, and many of you joined me at the second Mayor's Winemaker Dinner we had just this other evening, co-hosted by the City of Atascadero and our own Kiwanis, and we raised well over $30,000 that will go towards rebuilding our historic bandstand at the lake. So we're very proud of that, and I want to thank all of our fellow Kiwanians, Jerry and I, but it was great to have all of our former mayors come together on this as well. So
could I piggyback on that?
You certainly may.
It was a great night, and Doug Filippone, he deserves a Medal of Honor. I mean, he does such a great job with the auction, and he's raised so many hundreds of thousands of dollars over the years. It was a great event. Anybody that went, I mean, it was really amazing.
It was a great weekend.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you, Councilman Clay. Councilman Fonzie.
Yes, this last week has brought some interesting things to light with our Board of Supervisors, in particular the Chairman Adam Hill. And I've watched this with interest as he made aspersions of racism towards CoLab and also the Republican Party. And I would just like to state, as a council member, I do not support that type of behavior on the part of public officials, particularly public servants. And I'm very happy to see that the City Council and staff of the City of Atascadero has a very open and even-handed treatment of those who come to the podium, that they are always treated, I would hope, in the way that we ourselves would like to be treated. Thank you.
Very good. I appreciate that. And, you know, I am disappointed when I see others, and I do think we do want to model being open, and we do truly want to hear from all of our community. Thank you. Any other announcements? We'll move on to council reports. And I did attend the last school board meeting, not necessarily part of our city schools committee, but our school board is considering moving the junior high to their San Benito location. And we as a council want to weigh in on that. We think it's very important, keeping with our master plan, to see the downtown expand and have some depth in our community. But I didn't speak really just representing the city's interest. I truly believe, as someone born and raised here in town, and my wife's a school teacher, my daughter's a school teacher, I truly think this is the best thing for our school district. It's an opportunity to have an investment with an ongoing income stream for our schools that would go on into the future. I could think this could be a great commercial development site, and I would like to see that in the future producing income that would have some flexibility. These would be funds that could go towards teachers instead of currently the way the school funding is. There's often money for buildings, but not really necessarily for our students and our getting staff that support those students. So we did, as a council, take a stand that we really would like to see that seriously considered, not just because I think it's best for the city. I truly believe it's best for our school district, too. I will be attending the next mayor's round. How we can have a part in that, and maybe we can have council involved in talking about each of those areas. I hope we could do a little walking tour afterwards. We could all participate in some way. And I would... Being a member of the League of California Cities City PAC board, I'm glad to hear the League has taken such a good stance in fighting the state on this thinking about redevelopment, because, again, as we've all said, we do believe redevelopment is not only good for our community, it's the best tool we have to help the state, because what we've done with redevelopment is create jobs locally in our own Galaxy Theater, getting that expanded. It really has helped us build a financial base for us and help the state in their problems. So I'm really hoping the state hangs tough and does not take away redevelopment agencies. Concludes my reports. Mayor Pro Tem Kelly.
Yes, we have. Excuse me. We had our third design review committee, and it seems to be a very good program. We had our third design review committee last week, and it seems to be a real good new program instituted by the city to go along with the streamlining process that we're putting in place. And I'll let Councilwoman Fonzie comment on that a little later, since she's the chair of the committee. I also attended the Economic Vitality Corporation monthly meeting. And once again, as I've said several times, it's really a pleasure to go down there and listen to all the other cities complain about all the problems that they have, and then to be able to boast about our city that we have 8 new businesses that have moved into town, that we're streamlining the process, and they keep asking me, how do you guys do it up there? So once again, this just goes back to our staff, the great job that they're doing. And once again, I'd like to thank them for giving me the opportunity to represent our city that way.
Thank you. Councilwoman Fonzie.
Yes, I'd like to let you know about the design review committee. Actually, we had a request from a local dentist, Dr. Cottrell, who is located out at the Kmart Shopping Center near the Grub Shack, if all of you know that restaurant. And he would like to move his dentist office down into the Colony Square area. And the site that was chosen by Dr. Cottrell was the area behind the Rancho T Motel and between City Hall. It would be right by the pedestrian bridge. It would come out, and it would be slightly to the right as you cross the bridge. The design review committee was asked not only to approve the design of the building, but also whether we supported that in that particular location. and it was very unanimous, is being considered by the applicant, and we'll see what they come back with. But I think it will be a good fit, that people do like to go to shopping centers and places to take their kids and then go back and reward them with an ice cream or other activities. So that went very well. I'd like the council to take a look at the LAFCO document that's in the council office, if you get a moment, just go to about the 10th page in, and there is a recommendation that Atascadero's sphere of influence be maintained as it has been in the past, which does include Eagle Ranch. So LAFCO has the ability to adjust that boundary periodically, and they have drawn them in, for instance, on the city of Morro Bay quite dramatically recently. So we are blessed in many ways to be able to preserve it. They find that we're providing services and will be capable of handling that. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Sturdivant.
Yeah, no report.
Thank you. We'll move on to individual determinations and or action. None from the council. City clerk.
I do have a quick update for you on the Parks and Rec Commission vacancy, the recruitment.
Yes.
I have been advertising for that position for the last few weeks. I have received one application. Excuse me. And so I would like you all to check with people that you might know that might be interested and encourage people to apply, and people out who are watching this on television or listening on the radio, the same thing. If anyone is interested, this Friday, July 1st, as the deadline. That's how I advertise it in the newspaper. However, you can extend that or I can extend that to be longer. So if anyone has seen that July 1st deadline and they're still thinking about it, they can contact me or my office and get an application, and even if they send it in next week, that would be okay. And if you have any other suggestions or things you'd like me to do, you can let me know.
Thank you. Councilman Clay, are you wanting to respond to the clerks?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Did we have a list prior? You know, sometimes we go back to the old list.
We had two applicants from your, because you did interviews in January.
Right.
And we had two people who were not appointed at that time, yes. So we have those applications. Neither of them have reapplied. Although they don't necessarily have to, but they haven't expressed an interest.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you, City Treasurer, City Attorney.
I have no reports.
City Manager.
The Senate's now recessed until 9. Hold on to your fingers.
Okay. I'm going to hold on to my wallet. With that, we will adjourn. Thank you.